Bonjour, bonsoir, Peter, comment ça va?
Bonjour, bonjour. Ça va?
This is Dr. Agriculture. How are you doing?
How are you going, sir? Not too bad, not too bad.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I want to speak on some matters attaining to road work where NPC is concerned, and then I want to move on to a little piece of agriculture, if you would allow me.
Sure,
And
go
then we'll
ahead.
ha I will have a little debate. Now, first, let me say good morning to the general manager, Mr. Alves, Mr. Ryan Alves. I don't know if you know them. The assistant general manager, Mrs. Carrie Ann Jessamine. Some superintendents, raises is Mr. Bennett, Mr. Ford, etc. And some other management in NCC. A good man by the name of Mr. Ward, who makes sure that all the groups get their whackers, their string, the gas, etc. And the minister, which is Bennett Ford, the chairman, who is Mr. Rudy Grant, who is doing an extremely good job. The reason why I brought up this, Peter, is because I know you are not in the country, but you follow what is happening closely from where you sit. Teams are out there working very hard on a daily basis. I am usually in the Christchurch area, so I can give clarity for what happens in the Christchurch area. But be that as it may, every single person alongside the road, it was mandated that they wear a vest. They have on vests. Cones are put down. Signs are in place. But I want to say to John Public that the road has to be clean, Peter. And you know that it is two seasons in Barbados. There's rain and there is sun. I don't know where you live when you're here, Peter, but where do you live? I'm not trying to be racist. But I'm saying to you that Barbados, because of the lockdown, number one, a lot of people were home and wasn't able to go out to work. So whereas places that were clean have grown back. And then you would understand that places that were not clean, how those areas are. So the minister, along with the prime minister, have said that all teams must work on the roads of Barbados, because I don't know if you know, Peter, as the lady was just talking about contracts, all 30 constituencies pick on 12 individuals from all 30 constituencies to work in their constituency to keep Barbados clean. Because the Prime Minister was saying that Barbados is too dirty. And we can talk till the cows come home. It is a fact. And sometimes when I move from place to place and I go to check upon work, etc., some of the guys do an extremely good job. But supervisors are in place, field superintendents are in place, and everybody tried to work together. But what I find too is the motorists that are passing by, they can't even wait for a minute. Everybody in a rush. You would imagine that there are persons working weed whackers, etc. Some with calling, some with hose, making sure that the curbs are clean. And then there are people who cannot even wait 1 minute. There are persons who are pulling traffic. When I mean, like, obviously, one side of the road will be blocked off for a short period of time while the workers, because they have to protect them there because they're backing the traffic. But you are still finding disgusting people who want to bore through, although that they're being directed by the person that's pulling the traffic. And then when you have to speak to them, they're cursing and they're carrying on. I don't understand that behavior at all, because this is years now where MTW and NCC people go out on a daily basis to clean our streets, Peter. Be that as it may, you get garbage bags, Peter. Sometimes the garbage bags run out so fast. You know why these garbage bags run out? Because if you see the amount of Chefette wrapping the Kentucky boxes, the plastic cups, the plastic bottles, Peter, don't laugh, because I am serious. And I mean, all of these things, sometimes they are at the mouth of the wells. And then when you see the rain coming and you get a little bit of rain, and then the same people that can't wait a minute for their street to be cleaned, they come national radio or national TV barking and hollering for murder that the government of the day and the people, the drainage and this thing, they are not working. But if the people are coming out and working, Peter, and cleaning the neighborhoods, sometimes spick and span, because I can attest to what I'm saying to you. And then this behavioral pattern is exhibited over and over. So what do you expect? I mean, yes, the grass will grow. The river tamarind trees will grow. The couscous grass. grass will grow. The Guinea grass will grow. But it is unacceptable for Bajans to be driving, riding a bicycle, riding a motorcycle, or walking and eating. And wherever they're finished eating, they are tossing the garbage right alongside of the road. That is despicable. Mm-hmm. Do you understand the point that I am making? And then we are dwelling on, well, right now we are in a COVID environment, but we're not going to be in a COVID environment forever. But we mm-hmm. are saying that Barbados solely depends on the tourist dollar. And mm-hmm. the powers that be are making it abundantly clear that we cannot leave Barbados to run in a dilapidated, nasty state. And then when we got to try to bear it back, then you got to pump in more resources, Peter, than to get it clean. That's right. Ridiculous behavior.
Okay. All right. You had said you wanted to raise another quick point. Go right
yes.
ahead, please. Sorry.
Right. Peter, I don't know if you look at the legislation that was passed last week. I think right now they're dealing with estimates, and I'm glad for that. But when we look at this marijuana issue, we have to look at it in a close context, because I am saying to you, Peter, that I don't smoke. I don't even want to drink no more, because the majority of trouble that I get in, Peter, is because of when I drink. Because when you drink, the drinks just go to your head, and then you feel like it's 9 a.m. So I say, you see the drinking? I done with that. I don't smoke. I ain't got nothing to hide. But I have no problem. Personally, I have a problem with people who like dope, which is cocaine. But I don't mm-hmm. have a problem with anybody who buys marijuana, who steeps marijuana, who smokes marijuana, or think to have a marijuana in a cookie. Because, you know, you just make some cookies now. Some of my friends in Canada told me that you make a cookie out of the marijuana bud. And it is
not only in Canada, in Barbados too.
Well, I don't know about that, because you know that it's illegal. That I don't even get involved in those kind of things. But what I'm saying to you, Peter, when you come to John Public with a legislation, you gotta be very careful. And I know that you follow what is happening. Don't mind that your toes for over 4,000 miles away. I know that you follow this country on a day to day basis. And I'm saying that when you say to move away a criminal record for an individual, Peter, I'm going to be honest with you, every single high-ranking person, not all, but I mean there are persons who hold high offices in this country and they love marijuana. I am mm-hmm. telling you that for a fact, and I don't care who get vexed or who could get pleased. There are persons who are lawyers, doctors, bank managers, policemen, magistrate, judges, whoever they are, but they smoke the marijuana in the confinement of their home. You will not see them coming alongside the street like the ghetto people running up a spliff and smoking.
I know, but Mr. Agriculture, all you're doing is you're stating things that all of we know already.
I get to the point. The point that I am making is, why are you saying that you are not stopping people from getting a criminal record, but the legislation to me is contradictory? I don't know if you understand.
Okay. Huh? No, I understand. And I didn't want to interrupt you, but I want you to get to the point. Because the legislation, the way I see it, and I listened to the debate on Friday. I listened to Pressy's concerns, because he had concerns. And I also listened to Dr. Brown's concerns, because she had concerns. And let me say this, right? The point that you're making about Barbadians, I told you, I have a study that I did on behalf of the government of Barbados that shows conclusively that over one third of Barbadians say that they use marijuana recreationally.
Correct.
Right? And I see somebody sitting opposite me now shaking their head. So, I mean, they obviously know that what I say is true. You don't have to go far in Barbados to understand the extent to which uses are widespread. And my question is, in the context of information like that, why are you trying to criminalize so many people? You're trying to criminalize one third of the population. Sorry, you are maintaining the criminal thing on one third of the population, which is unwise. I think the Prime Minister is trying to do, the Prime Minister has essentially said, look, let's create a regime where persons who use it do not attract a criminal record, but also let's create a regime where we don't be encouraging people to use it. And I think that is essentially the position that she's in. As I understand it, Dr. Brown is saying that, in her opinion, we should not even go that far, because it is a dangerous drug and it ought to be outlawed and the status quo needs to be retained. I would just say that there are not a lot of people in Barbados that support Dr. Brown's view. She is in the minority, but nonetheless, she is entitled and has every right to hold the opinion that she holds. On the other side is Trevor Pesca's view. Trevor Pesca's idea is closer to mine, that why is it that you're criminalizing people for doing something that pretty much, you know, half of Barbadians or one third of Barbadians are doing anyhow? And I understand where he's coming from, and I would say that his views represent the views of the majority. Having said that, however, the Prime Minister has made it clear that this is a way station. You've created opportunities for people, for Rastafarians who need to use ganja in the context of their religious practices to do so without fear of interruption. You've created a situation where persons who use marijuana recreationally will not attract a criminal record, but will have to pay the state a fine. There can be repeated fines, I don't know, but it is certainly progress beyond the situation that we is. But she has, however, said that to go any further requires a referendum. Now, sir, I do not support the referendum. No. I also do not support the idea of a fine. My position is that we should get to a stage in Barbados where people procure ganja in the way that people procure rum. Because in my opinion, the two substances are no different. You protect children, you protect the vulnerable, you create a regime for licensing, and you allow people to grow and smoke in peace. However, that is something which, as I understand it, is beyond the current limitation. And we can do one of two things. We can either say the glass is half full in that we have made progress on a very, very contentious issue to get to a stage that is far better than where we were before. Or alternatively, we can see it as half empty and say that the venture is a half a venture and is it even really worth anything? I mean, we can say that. I, however, am more comfortable with the half full concept. And I feel that once we get there, it will help to allay a number of suspicions, but I understand that it is a very contentious issue. And the fact that you have division within the Barbados Labour Party government on it speaks to the fact that it clearly is contentious. Mr. Agriculture, we're going to have to run. We need to take a break. And when we come back, we continue with Down to Brass Tacks. Back to Down to Brass Tacks. I'm happy that the last caller raised this whole ganja issue. It was one of the things that I wanted to speak to. You appreciate that being on the program as infrequently as I am, there's sometimes things that pass, and that's one of them. But I felt that I had been fairly vocal on the ganja issue for a long time. Juanita is telling me that since one third of Barbadians use marijuana recreationally, two thirds of Barbadians apparently not. Maybe that two-third majority are on the side of Dr. Brown. It's an interesting argument you've raised, Juanita. The point, however, that I was trying to make is that if you have a situation where one-third of Barbadians are using marijuana recreationally, it means that you are potentially criminalizing one-third of Barbadians if you pursue an argument or pursue a legal position that says that the status quo should remain, because essentially one-third of Barbadians are breaking the law. I think that that is not a comfortable situation that you would want to persist with. The other point that I think needs to be made in terms of that argument, that it was a survey that was commissioned by the Office of the Attorney General, the Crime Prevention Department. It was conducted by my organization. However, when we were conducting the survey, we indicated to people that we were doing it on behalf of the government of Barbados. My feeling is that a person that will admit to an interviewer that they use ganja, which is an illegal drug, in a survey which is being done on behalf of a government department that is attached to the Barbados Police Force, will reveal information or will reveal numbers, knowledge numbers that are far lower than the reality. My sense is that it is far higher, and perhaps there are a number of people who said no that probably should have said yes. And I think that these are the two things that we have to take into consideration. I have a lot of regard for Dr. Brown, and let me make it clear. I understand where Dr. Brown is coming from. She is concerned about a medical issue related to all kinds of side effects that could be associated with marijuana use. And there is an argument that says we already have problems with alcohol. Why then would you add an additional potential drug to that list to create problems with that as well? I have, however, argued that it's not right to see it as an entirely medical issue, because there's a social aspect to it and there's a social cost associated with criminalizing one-third of the Barbadian population. So that's the kind of conversation that I wanted to raise and pursue. You know, Peter, this is someone is saying, Peter, tell the doctor that marijuana is not a dangerous drug. It was outlawed because Henry Ford made a car with a body made from hemp plastic fueled by marijuana oil. So the powers at the time outlawed it because of the number of industry that would have been crippled because you can get thousands of products from marijuana. The doctor should tell people that have THC receptors in their brain, they should speak in relation to that. I'm not getting into the conversation now, though, of the good and bad of marijuana. I think that we've gotten to a stage where we have said, look, we're going to look at a regime towards changing the status of it. It's a regime that I support. It is also a regime I don't think goes far enough. And I feel that it's important for us to have conversations like these on the radio so that we can give the benefit of the policymakers can have the benefit of our opinions on these issues as we go forward. Donna Brastox, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey, morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Now, good, Peter, good. I need to speak to you concerning three matters. And you know, my favorite one would be the final one I will speak to you, and that is politics. Even though it's very short, because we deal with that, the particular point of our race, but politics at a later date. But first, I must ask you, Peter, can you tell me who the person who took over from David Ellis? Now he's in retirement.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Can I tell who you are?
Can you tell me who the person who take over from David Ellis now that he's in?
Sidney Green is now running the station.
Oh, okay.
He's now the station manager, right?
Oh, good. Now, when you ask that question, Peter, I would hope that he made some serious guidelines as far as programming at VOB is concerned. And I say that to you, Peter, simply because quite recently, I'm hearing some things on the various programs that turns me off. And you have Cassie's program on mornings, Peter. Then you have Brastox. Then indeed, you have Larry's program, Mayday at 2 o'clock, sorry. And even now, you got the doctor on call on Sunday night. And I am appalled to see that those programs could now turn into a Brastox. And I honestly believe that management of the Starcom network needs to look into the serious ways that these programs are going. Because, Peter, we cannot allow these programs to turn into Brastox, as I want to say. You cannot give him that latitude. And every program he wants to turn into a Brastox. So I hope management will take note and do something about it. Now, let me go to my point.
I have to admit that I haven't listened. You said which of the programs that you feel are turning into Brastox?
Cassie's program. Then you have the Brastox. Then you have Larry's program. And now you go on to the doctor program on Sanders. It's unbelievable that something like this could be happening and someone don't.
Yeah, but the problem that you're commenting on is whenever you have a call-in segment or you give people the option to call a program, people will call and raise issues, and it's difficult to say that you want participatory radio. You want radio that allows people to participate in the exercise. Once you open that door, people will start to treat it like a Brastox.
But Peter, people should use it.
You haven't listened to lyrical interpretations?
Yeah, but Peter, listen. Right. I think people need
Sometimes lyrical interpretations is turned into a Brastox too. I mean, you're talking about interpreting songs and people coming with different perspectives and whatnot, but is that not what participatory radio is all about?
Yeah, but people need to use the discretion. That's my point. Discretion is the most important thing.
Sorry, true enough.
You know, I honestly believe people need to use the discretion. Let me go to my point.
All right.
Now, Peter, even though I understand what Minister Abrams is saying when he said that he was going to go after the people who posted this video concerning the child at GIS, I understand him clearly, Peter, because I think he's more concerned about the protection of the child and her rights and so on. But at the same time, I do believe that he needs to be more outright in his statement. Again, distract me something here. because it comes across to various people as though he is more concerned about the person who posts the video rather than going after the persons who inflict the treatment on this child. And even if you look at today's Nation newspaper, Peter, you will see there's a whole story concerning a sacking of a lady from the same GIS. And I believe any investigations that are being carried out concerning the GIS, this lady needs to be a part of it. Because it is not what we should expect from the institution that's supposed to be looking after delinquent people in this country, children in this country. And I hope Minister Abrams will seek out this young lady and get her input. Because it is not right. It don't sound right to me. I don't know whoever else read the article in today's Nation, but it just do not seem right to be treating children like that, as far as I'm concerned. Let me go to my another matter. Now, for the longest while after we had this country locked down, there was people who was complaining that they want to see the opening of the country again. We opened up, we shut down, we opened up, we shut down, we open up again. Peter, if you was in Swan Street yesterday, you would wonder if people in this country really understand what COVID-19 is all about. I mean, what I see on Swan Street yesterday, I could not believe it. You see people walking as though it's a Christmas day. People walking, I see so many people with a mask below the nose. And I must tell you, Peter, I also saw some people, especially guys, with no mask at all. Do you understand what's happening? And when we talk about community spread in this country, Peter, especially seeing now that Easter weekend coming up, don't be surprised. If we don't want it, the Prime Minister don't want it, the same people in Swan Street who behave in this sort of ridiculous way don't want it, but don't be surprised if within that 2 or 3 weeks this country comes to a close again. Because I just cannot believe what I seen in Swan Street yesterday. And I know for
the coming... What are you doing in Swan Street?
Peter,
Listen,
I had to go. I was compelled to go into Bridgetown. Not Swan Street. That's my private business. I can't disclose that.
So hold on a second. You got a right to tell me that I can't ask you private business what you're going in town for, but you watching everybody else that was in town and said that they had a right to be in town, and you don't know what them private businesses are they going in town for?
Business? Peter, I talk about people with masks on the face and they saw the behavior I saw on Swan Street.
Don't worry about the behavior, tall boy. If I go in town with a mask on my face and I behave badly, it don't mean that I don't have a right to be in town. How you know what I'm going in town for?
Peter, you missed the point. You want to tell me you know this situation, how it's run at this country at the present moment, and you going to tell me you encouraging people to go in Bridgetown or Swan Street with a mask below the
boy, I am not encouraging anyone in anything. I am just asking you, if you are not prepared to discuss your reasons, imperative as they were, for going into Bridgetown, how can you ask someone else who was in Bridgetown too, or how can you assume that that person had the right to be in town because of how they were quote-unquote behaving?
Again, you're missing the point. I was masked.
I ain't missing the point.
I had on a mask fully to my face, but I tell you about people I saw in Swan Street without masks on the face and who had masks below the nose.
And tall boy, that is a separate issue. That is an issue where people are not wearing masks properly, but don't conflate that issue with the question as to whether or not they had a right to be in town in the first place.
But you see who confused me? I tell you about what you see with the mask, the behavior I saw on Swan Street with people wearing masks. That's my friendly outset. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But you're missing the point.
So your issue isn't whether they need to be there or not. Your issue is whether or not they're wearing masks properly.
That's my concern.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I apologize and withdraw that remark because I thought that you were going on about what they were doing in town for.
No, Peter, you can't be that naive.
Yeah.
Business are doing Bridgetown. That's why Bridgetown.
Okay, fair enough. I apologize for jumping the gun and jumping to the conclusion. And I certainly support you in that people need to wear their masks properly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let me just say though, Tom, I know that I have the opportunity, and this is something which has been weighing on my mind for a long time. We are now into almost, 12, 13 months? The first lockdown was in March last year. And we are now into 12 months later. Right? Mm. Right. Wearing a mask is unnatural, and it is something which does not come easily. Right? Stopping in your house is unnatural, and it doesn't come easily. Right? We are accustomed, when we see somebody that we know, we either hug them up or we shake the hand, but we cannot do that. We are in a situation now where all of the things that we have done naturally, we cannot do, right? There are some people who, they wake up on the morning, they go, they have their breakfast, and they go buy a shop, and they drink rum till midday, listen to brass tacks, and then they go home in the afternoon. That's what some people do. We have not been able to do that for the better part of a year. The point I'm making is that I understand that as much as some people may have very good intentions, this thing has gone on for such a long time. It is wearing on people's emotions, is weighing on the nerves. And a person who may very well have wore the mask properly may very well start wearing the mask properly now because they're just getting fed up. And let's just take into consideration that getting fed up is as much a human condition as following rules. Right? I live in a completely different space to you, and I can tell you that we have the same problems in terms of mask wearing here, where there are people who would not wear their mask properly. There are some people who won't wear them at all. You can get fined for it. But the reality of the situation is that it is just, it's pressure on people, and they're not following the rules and so on, because this thing has just been going on for too long. So just, I would say, temper justice with mercy. All right?
No, but you temper my health with mercy too. Let me tell you something, Peter. You got community spread in Barbados. That's my point. You know, when people behave in this sort of manner, the volume of people I saw on Stone Street, and as I keep telling you, the Easter weekend coming up again, don't forget we had this problem when they had the Old Year's and the Christmas festival season. That's where we get this problem. And this Easter weekend may be same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm concerned about what you're seeing in Bridgetown. And let me tell you, when I was coming up to Bridgetown, I decided to take Broad Street. I went right back down Swan Street, then come back down Swan Street.
Mm-hmm.
No, at all, I wouldn't take that chance. But let me go on my politics, Peter. I don't want to be looking on this matter.
All right. Look, we got Randall. You were saying something to me quickly?
The sportsman or small business, the Democrat Labour Party, I hear him this morning use some statement concerning the Barbados Labour Party and small business. They don't believe or they neglect small business people. Peter, mm-hmm. I can speak to you about this later, but I want to just remind him that small business, that when they went out of office in 2018, they had nothing in place to help small business people. And this government come to power, we have fund access, and the amount of small business that crop up all across this country, Peter, with loans and business that are Drake Sutherland up to this present day, setting up a lot of small business by players. So he out of place when he's speaking about small business. Tell him, remember Byron for that time. Thank you, Peter.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. We're going to take a break and come right back. Oh, I'm sorry. We got to run. Yeah, we're going to return to the telephone line 431-790.